This episode is brought to you by the New York Times bestseller, So Anyway. In So Anyway, John Cleese takes readers on a grand tour from his humble beginnings to his early comedic days to the founding of the landmark Monty Python comedy troupe that would propel him to worldwide renown. Through surprising stories and hilarious digressions, So Anyway by John Cleese is a masterly performance by a master performer. Now in paperback, everywhere where books are sold. Today's episode is brought to you by our good old friends at Squarespace. What's Squarespace? Oh, only the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace has an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. That's right. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Hey, everybody, before we start the show, wanted to let you know that we are doing live shows in Los Angeles on January 23rd, 8 and 10 p.m. Get your tickets now at largo-la.com. Largo-la.com. Tickets are still available. Cybercrime is under the microscope in this prescient tale of the seedy underbelly of hacking. No, it's not. Not at all. We saw hackers, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by the lovely Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, hello, Paul.
And the very manly June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Hello, Paul.
We are talking about the 1995 film Hackers today. And for those of you who haven't seen the film Hackers, here's a quick breakdown. A young boy is arrested by the U.S. Secret Service for writing a computer virus and is banned from using a computer until his 18th birthday. Years later, he and his newfound friends discover a plot to unleash a dangerous computer virus, but they misuse their computer skills to find evidence while being pursued by the Secret Service and the evil computer genius behind the virus, such as Hackers. That is the premise of the 1995 film Hackers that we watched this week. And boy, oh boy, this has been a movie that has been recommended to us time and time again.
I get why. I mean, it is pretty spectacularly bad in a way that I feel like we would appreciate, which I did appreciate.
Well, I will tell you that what I love about a movie like this is it took such a hard swing at what the future is and what computers are.
And what the internet looks like.
It is, and
it could not have gotten it more wrong.
What year
was this supposed to be taking place in?
Well, 1995.
Yeah.
But what year was it made?
1995.
Yeah, it was not a futurescape.
Yeah.
Wait, did you think this movie took place in the future?
No, I didn't, but that's why you're saying it took such a...
When they're talking about going into the internet and they had to visualize that, like the floating, ambiguous, algorithmic kind of looking things over just empty space.
Well, I mean, buildings, too.
Yeah.
Buildings of numbers.
This movie starts off with one of my favorite openings of all time.
He's an 8-year-old hacker, by the way.
Yes.
He is 8 years. When they show you the reveal of the little boy who like took down the whatever is comedically young.
I mean, so the opening of this movie starts almost like a Disney movie because Felicity Huffman is trying this kid who shut down 1500 facilities or whatever. And the camera's panning from adult head, adult head, adult head, and then space. And then the camera has to go comically down to reveal an 8-year-old sitting there like, fuck you, I did it.
And it looks like, I mean, when we're saying an 8-year-old, like, I'm talking about Jonathan Lipnicki in Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
Like, he looks like that little of a kid.
But he's supposed to be 12.
Right, because it's until his 18th birthday.
Oh, he's 12. He's not 8.
No.
I don't think so. He's either.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, but he looks a lot younger than that. I thought he
was 8 years old for some reason.
Well, I think 12
is a little better, but still very young.
He doesn't look 12. I think at the end of the day, they keep on saying
it's
7 years ago.
I'm sorry to go back to this. So you're saying that they were taking a swing at what the internet would look like, or just the idea of like, this is the internet in 1995?
I think the whole idea of what hackers did, like, for example, there's a part in the movie where Johnny Lee Miller, the main character, is hacking and puts on the equivalent of Google glasses,
yeah.
Like, so he can like hack and literally like hit the computer screens in his eye. Like, that's not a thing. And
well,
even like
also,
Fisher Stevens in virtual reality,
oh
like,
my God,
he's boxing but also feeling the force of the hit back. Like, it's just, it's too much. And Penn Jillette in that big computer room.
That big computer room is such an amazing idea of like, how are we going to represent the internet? And it is just a big giant room full of like glass boxes with words and numbers flashing across, as if they are living in the computer.
One of the climactic scenes in the movie looks like a scene out of a whack-a-mole game from like a bad amusement park, because it's just all these holes in a brightly lit orange panel, and Fisher Stevens
Fisher Stevens in this movie, man.
I love it. I kind of think of this movie as like if Fisher Stevens' character from Short Circuit went bad, this is him.
It made me sad for him in this movie.
Well, Fisher Stevens does the thing where
he's the villain.
He's the villain, the computer genius who's
also a hacker.
Oh my gosh, he is the plague.
He rides around on a skateboard.
Everybody is on wheels in this.
This movie might as well be called Everybody's on Wheels.
Nobody is a pedestrian. Everyone gets to and fro with some sort of wheels, be it rollerblades, and the world is equipped to handle everybody on wheels.
Oh, I mean, they go to a club that has ramps built
everywhere.
In.
It's like Starlight Express style.
Yeah.
It imagines a world that is not the future in which life exists like a Starlight Express and like there are hacker like raves.
Hacker clubs.
It's like everybody, like hackers are the most secretive people. They are anonymous.
Yes.
But like in this movie, people like spray paint their front door like Hackstock.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like
it's like picture what you know of Snowden and then just go to the exact opposite.
I mean, it is crazy.
These are more like I said like everyone looks like they're an extra from the Point Break movie. The original.
Yes.
And the
original.
The original, not the
remake.
I don't fuck with that new one.
All these hackers seem to want to do, at least the teenage hackers, is be able to make phone calls for free from payphones. Like, that seems to be...
By the way,
I never understood what they are beyond, like, breaking up the crime that they're trying to hack the planet,
obviously.
Their ideology, though, in terms of hacking is. Like, it's not for the greater good.
Well, like, literally...
It's for free phone calls.
Well, we...
Razor
and Blade.
What do they want to do?
I think they want to...
Cause chaos
and have their monikers be... Like, this is what hackers do. They hack something to show that they could get in, and then they leave something behind to show that they were
that
there, basically.
Them.
But
that's what they're kind of talking about in that weird cafe.
That's terrible.
When they're like, I got into this bank, and I got it to do this, and boop, 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 you know?
But sometimes they just want to, like, put on their favorite episodes of, like, The Outer Rim.
What's
interesting about that is it just makes them so unlikable and unredeemable.
Sure.
Well, you know what, Jim?
They're terrible people.
And this movie posits them as like the good guys.
They're not.
Who are breaking federal laws, like almost like you would root for a movie that was about kids doing graffiti.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like street kids doing graffiti.
Well, they're like,
even though they're breaking the law and damaging people's property, there's an artistic merit. I feel like this posits the idea that the hackers are like that.
Well, let's hear what Fisher Stevens as his character thinks the hackers are. Let's take a listen.
You wanted to know who I am, Zero Cool? Well, let me explain the new world order. Governments and corporations need people like you and me. We are samurai, the keyboard cowboys, and all those other people out there who have no idea what's going on are the cattle. Moo. I need your help. You need my help. Let me help you earn your spurs. Think about it. Enjoy the laptop. Cool. Tell me where the...
So that is...
Oh my God.
Wow.
That is Fisher Stevens describing, I guess, but basically not saying anything. Basically,
I still don't understand from his point of view. Well, he's He's just in it for the money, though. That's all he's
committing a huge crime by creating a worm that is siphoning money off of whatever that weird company is that he works for.
Yes, which is named Gibson, which is a tip of the hat to William Gibson, who invented the term cyberspace.
Oh, that's true, yes.
But, yeah, I didn't even really understand the premise of this movie. I want to get into the – all right, so – it's a bunch of hackers, and there are these elite hackers. And the elite
is elite hacker, a word that hackers use? Because it's used a lot in the movie.
They go, don't worry, he's an elite hacker.
Yeah, he's elite.
But meanwhile, there's a kid who's trying to get into the elite group, and they go, why don't you break into Gibson, which has not really been established at
and
all.
And it's like a mining company or something. Why are they like, oh, Gibson, you should hack Gibson.
And Gibson, to me, seems like a very important giant company because they have multiple tankers out across the world that can easily be flooded. That's basically what's happening in this mm-hmm. movie, that tankers are going to flip over. But the budget of this movie never shows you any of those tankers.
Well, I also doubt that these tankers, you know, one of the big points that Fisher makes is that these tankers don't have any manual, like, abilities anymore. Like, their entire – and I just
which
don't,
is interesting.
But that how could that be that there's no
it's a
way
boat.
To
you should have some manual
you should have
yeah.
some
well this
I mean,
is
are
the
no
this is the whole conversation that people are having right now about like these Google cars.
Oh, Google cars.
Google cars, all these or self-driving cars. Tesla's now a self-driving can be self all these self-driving cars, should you be able to manually override it or not?
Yeah.
Because we are more fallible by far than the machines. Like the only problem they've had with Google cars so far, is that people driving keep hitting the driverless cars.
But Jason, I think this comes back to an issue we've talked about a lot, which is do you fear machines or not? Do
I'm
you
listening.
Trust them?
Yeah.
And
well, people did. Hackers
I
did
don't
hack
trust them.
Jeep.
Really?
They hacked a moving car.
Fuck that.
They were able
Fuck.
They were able to take control of a car's computer system and take it over.
Wait, and what did that car do?
They did it to show they could do it. I'm sorry. They didn't do it like remotely to somebody who was driving.
Oh, okay.
They did it to show, hey, this is a weakness.
Got it.
This should be dealt with because we were very easily able to just hack this car.
So hackers like that are working in kind of an altruistic way where they're trying to blow whistles and show like so do they – yeah, of course. But do they come forward and say they're just completely anonymous? They're not –
those ones, I'm not sure. I mean, the hacker
higher.
Group Anonymous.
Well, yeah,
they are like the you know they are
elite.
They are the elite hackers,
and they're probably gathering around watching Razor and Blade do their hacker show.
Oh my god!
I mean, that was the thing that was so crazy about it is that this supposedly elite group of hackers get together to watch a TV show with these two characters, Razor and Blade, who open up their show, which we don't even understand if it's a public access or if they're also hacking into a station. I don't know. To then basically talk about how to get free phone calls. I mean, that seems like a very low level. That's a low level of hacking.
That's a different – that's to me a storyline in this movie that in some ways wasn't exploited enough, which should have been that
– free phone
calls?
These
are teen hackers.
Yep.
So what do teens really want out of their lives that
hand
they
jobs.
Can hack?
Yeah.
Ooh. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's like kind of interesting to me. But for them to just be hacking for the sake of it.
But that is hacking. That is, I believe. And I mean like
to
the internet
you can get in
is
there.
To show that you are so good you could beat the security system of this big company or the government or whatever it is that is that you can show like, oh, I penetrated their defenses. That's how good I am. I found a backdoor and a loophole.
It's like winning. I mean, look, any hackers out there that are listening, I'm sorry for our
yeah, we're doing the best we can.
But it's like winning a race. It's like having a medal. It's like, I did that. It's like it's accomplishment-based.
Yeah.
It's like it's unlocking who did the what. Like if you brought down a company.
And then, of course, I think that's the kind of hackers that are meant to be represented in this. I also think there are malicious hackers who are trying to steal credit card information, who are trying to steal information
right.
in order to make money off of it, in order to profit.
Well, like, yes. Because
I don't think
that's – so they're just doing it for the love of
the
hack.
I think this movie is about kids who are doing it to show that they're good, to impress each other.
Right. They're not – they're not evil. They're, I mean, at the most, they're messing around with TV stations.
Yeah.
But they're not doing like a
at the end when they made all those stoplights go haywire. I mean, that seemed to be incredibly unsafe.
True. People could have been hurt. Absolutely. So
it seemed people were.
It kind of seems like you're on the side of the Secret Service. We want to shut these hackers down.
Yeah. Of course.
I thought you would also want to be a hacker, though, too. Because you
not
would
at
want
all. It looks so tedious. It looks like a terrible way to spend your day.
Oh, I mean,
it looks horrible.
Sometimes. Can you imagine, especially back then? And I would love it if people would tell us on the message boards or whatever. Like back then, everything moved so slow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're connecting to payphones.
Yes. Oh, by the way, they're looking at a modem.
They're payphones because payphones exist.
They're excited about a new modem, and they're looking at a modem like, whoa. And the modem is also emanating a light at you. Like everything in this movie is reversed projected.
Yeah.
Like if computers were shooting that much light into your face, we'd all be blind by now. Like everybody's face is only the reflection.
That thing where they get into trouble a lot in movies that try and represent computers and working at computers. You know, what's it called? The Net is another one.
Which I thought we should do after
this. I remember
enjoying The Net.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, we got to watch The Net.
Oh, we got to go
to
The Net.
I'd love to see it again. Back to back.
Things that are truly dependent on the most mundane and boring activity, which is typing commands into a keyboard. And so this movie goes so out of its way to give us interesting visuals to go along with that, all of which is nonsense.
I mean, he's literally in a plane looking down at New York City, and then New York City turns into a big microchip, and he's like looking at all the connections.
I feel like I spent the entire movie in the brains of a computer. Like, just in the innards of a fucking computer.
You're always in there.
And that must have been horrible for you because you have such a firmly entrenched fear of computers.
I don't like computers or machines in general. And I felt I was inside a horror movie of a machine the entire time.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
You didn't identify with any of the human characters?
Honestly, not really.
Really?
At all.
Like, so you wouldn't say that Serial or Nikon or Freak or The Plague or Razor or
Blade?
No, well,
first of all, I never understood why... the two of them, Kate, Angelina Jolie, and Johnny Lee, Johnny Lee Miller,
who married after this.
Which is interesting, but I didn't understand why they didn't like each other in the beginning.
No, and I felt like
because they're rival hackers.
She was also trying to program the TV station.
So, but when he arrives at high school, did she know that?
No.
Why is she automatically angry with him?
Oh, she's just
that way?
Yeah, she's just that way. Couldn't you tell?
But why is the cool girl?
Couldn't you tell? She dresses like she's an extra in Logan's Run.
I'm ready to talk about her sideburns whenever anyone else.
When were rash guards as normal wear in?
Yeah. Why
she's
was
wearing
she wearing
a fucking
like,
surfer shirt through a majority of this movie?
She also at one point is wearing just like a one-piece futuristic jumpsuit.
Yes.
Inexplicably. And then, as if she truly is like, oh, I'm going to start dressing like I'm from a super futuristic sci-fi movie and ride around on this motorcycle.
But yet, she also is the person that the school is deemed to initiate the new students.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't be
why
the
were there so many new students that day? There's like, when she plays a prank on him, there's like a pool on the roof, and he goes up, and there's no pool on the roof. There's like 25 kids up there. Are there 25 new students at this school?
But also, by the way, I had an issue with that pool prank. Is
everybody like, can't wait to get a look at that pool?
I know, like, can high school kids can't resist the promise of an Olympic-sized pool?
Also, everybody, come on, there's no pool on the roof, right?
I mean,
there is a pool out here at the Earwolf roof, though.
We should maybe stop the recording.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, ooh, there's
the
a
Earwolf
naked girl.
Pool? Come on, you guys don't know about the Earwolf pool?
No, how long has it been there for?
Oh, it just opened.
Is it nice?
Oh, there's a
lemonade stand.
All right, let's go up there and take a break.
There's a bocce ball court. Oh, it's so great, the pool. The Earwolf pool, where all your money is going. I knew it. I knew that's what they were doing. I gave them $100 for their show, and they're making a pool.
It's a really nice pool, though. You guys can come visit it anytime you're out here in L.A., suckers.
We're looking at you, England. Screw you, dicks.
England, we apologize.
I'm still going to war with England.
And we have no dates on the book for London shows. I'm sorry that we falsely promised that to you. We would love to go to London.
We will come to London.
There are no dates in the book.
So you can yell at us in person rather than just online. You bastards.
And by the way, Angelina Jolie is – they're all dressing – like these hackers are all dressing like – hackers, like almost like clowns. Like the outfits in this movie, like Matthew Lillard's outfit.
Matthew Lillard.
Those braids.
Okay.
Those braids.
Okay. Hold on. You talk for one second. I just want to find what I wrote.
Matthew Lillard is doing something with this character that I can't figure out. I think he's adopting a slight transgender motif. I think he's also adopting like a stoner motif. It's like a jacket on a jacket on a jacket.
You have to remember the early 90s, the style was disgusting.
Yes.
This is New York City. Like this is
I kept forgetting it was New York City, by the way.
New York City. It's like these really? And it's with high school kids. Like they should be at the cutting edge of what's going on. And I think they were, and it's disgusting.
Matthew Lillard, I wrote down it in the middle of the movie, Matthew Lillard is, I believe, basing his entire character's look on Rayanne from My So-Called Life. He is dressed identical to the female best friend in My So-Called Life, 100%. The braids, the outfits, I believe he's wearing women's clothing the whole time. And it is fascinating everything he's doing.
Well, and I don't
know. He was by far my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah, he was amazing.
By far.
He definitely made a choice and he was fun. Yep. I don't understand.
Loved what?
Like, I don't understand if he was homeless. I don't understand.
He references not having a place to sleep a few times.
It doesn't make sense that he's a hacker. He seems like their dumb buddy, but is instead just another hacker with them.
And he seems like on their level.
Yeah, he's elite.
the one thing I wanted to bring up about his wardrobe, too, is that he is wearing a shirt, and Avril actually brought this up, too. His shirt is of a young girl holding Jesus' hand, and it says, and the young girl is saying, "What happened to your hand?" Because there is a nail mark in the hand. That is the shirt that he wears in the AP English class.
What's interesting, though, because the 90s the early 90s was all about, like, it was not about looking good.
No.
No.
It was about, like, men dyeing their hair that horrible shade of blonde.
Yep. And, like, or red. Whatever.
Yeah, like Claire Danes and I mean, I thought she was beautiful, but like it's not great, that color.
It's also a movie version of these things. Because I also, yesterday, after I watched this, I watched a bunch of High Fidelity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
which
Which
is
great.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
great. But that it also has the gang of skateboard kids who hang out front of the record shop are similarly dressed in 90s era crazy
terrible.
Clothes, crazy weird hair colors
but was
that
it
are
weird?
So beyond what kids did at that point.
It's almost like the same person who cast everybody in Back to the Future 2 when they're in the future did all the art design for everything. It's like people are so trying to pick a trend. They just, like, again, like a rash guard is a bold move. It's a bold move. And
especially for someone, it's not like it's a California movie where she's wearing surf clothes to school.
Yeah.
It's a New York City movie where she's wearing like a Quicksilver rash guard shirt to school. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
It's a rash guard. It's bright blue. And then she seems to be wearing like
this is Angelina Jolie, by the way.
That are high waisted over it.
Yep.
Yes.
But like evening wear and then a nice ankle boot.
And when
baffling.
Yes.
It's baffling.
No. It is like a combination of high-end sportswear, high-end couture.
Like slacks.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going shopping at the surf shop. I'm going shopping at like Bloomingdale's, and then like
stop off at Ann Taylor.
And then my friend is gonna like throw scissors around my head, and that's what my haircut's gonna be.
And what I found even interesting was that her fashion sense went into her dreamscape.
Yes.
Because when she dreams about Johnny Lee Miller, am I right or wrong? Is he wearing like a fully plastic or like a leather. Yeah, bodysuit. Like a Eddie Murphy from Delirious bodysuit. Like, so her fantasy of him is in this leather.
But that was an interesting moment, that fantasy, because I thought, because at first there's a shot of a woman, it's clearly a woman in like that red leather spandex, latex, whatever that is, jumpsuit, like a bodysuit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there's a finger like, you know, going around her thighs. And then they pan up and it's him wearing it.
Yes.
Well, there's definitely
what's
like
going on.
There's a bunch of like that's gender fluidity going on.
Yes.
Also, you know, not just Matthew.
Which I don't agree
not
with.
Not just Matthew Lillard's. Not just Matthew Lillard's wardrobe, which again is all based on Rayanne from My So-Called Life, but also like Johnny Lee Miller and Angelina Jolie have the bet about whoever loses, whoever's not the best hacker, has to wear a dress on their date. And then he is, when they have their date at the end of the movie, wearing something that is in between.
Everyone's wearing something in between.
I feel like
the men are dyeing their hair.
I feel like that was it. I feel like the guy, people who made the movie were like, boys are girls, girls are boys, gender mix up.
They're hackers.
Who knows? Hackers.
They hack their sexuality. Like. Hey, June, can you talk about
Go ahead.
Well, one of June's most, it was fun to watch your reaction to it. I don't know if you want to bring it back to your memory, but what Matthew Lillard did to himself.
When he licked his own nipple? He didn't lick it. He just touched it sexually. I was really upset.
It was upset. Disturbing to me, too.
Were you more upset by that act of sexuality or the fact that Fisher Stevens and Lorraine Bracco were involved?
I've never seen two bodies want to come together
Not make
more.
Any
like two
sense.
Two magnets pushing each other.
They did not line up right at all. Like when they approached, it took me so long to realize they were meant to be love interests that when they finally made it so explicit, I was like, oh no. Oh, no, we can't do this.
And please don't.
This doesn't work at all.
Look, can we just talk for a second? You need to learn how to cook. All right, and if you do know how to cook, I'm going to tell you something that's going to change your life. Here's the deal. You non-cookers out there, when you don't know how to cook, you're an idiot. You're a real stupid dumb, okay? Because when you know how to cook at home, you can eat healthier, you can save money, and you can impress the people around you. Because chefs, in our world, that's the new currency. Impress people, gain friends by learning this skill. But where do you start? It's hard. I'm going to tell you. Blue Apron. Two words! For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers all the fresh ingredients that you need to create home-cooked meals. You're not getting stuff freeze-dried and you're unfreezing it. No, you're making it yourself. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Honestly, a smart monkey could know how to make these meals. And people, their minds will be blown. Parents, girlfriends, boyfriends, roommates, all right? You want to get something out of your roommate? Cook them a meal, okay? And no matter your dietary preference, okay, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like sausage and bread stuffing with fennel, mushroom, and celery right in your own kitchen. And get this, each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Bam! 40 minutes or less. Come on, people. No overwhelming trips to the grocery store. No sad takeout. You are about to enter a culinary dreamscape. Cook with ingredients that you've never used before, like watermelon radishes. What are they? But they exist. Farro and purple potatoes. That's right. They'll be in your house, and the recipes are between 500 and 700 calories per portion. So they're delicious and good for you. Right now, you can get your first two meals for free. Whoa. Stop the clock. What did I say? The first two meals are for free at blueapron.com/bonkers. B-O-N-K-E-R-S. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Do you love books, right? Do you love them so much, but you're like, I don't have time to read. I got to look at Instagram. I got to Snapchat. This image that no one really cares about. Well, guess what? Audible's like, we get it. You're busy. But why don't you also put reading into the equation? How? Audiobooks. That's right. Get audiobooks. Listen to those books that you've been meaning to read on the go, at the gym, during your commute. Audible.com provides over 180,000 audio programs from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. Whatever you like to read, you can listen to. Their app is free. Love that. Works on iPhones, iPad, Android, Windows phones. You can download it and listen on your Kindle Fire too. And there's 500 other MP3 players that I'm not going to get into that you can listen to Audible.com on. Okay. And unlike streaming or rental services, Audible.com allows you to own your books. you can access your books at any time, right from where you are on your smartphone. Plus, they have a great listen guarantee. If you decide you don't like the book you choose, no worries. Exchange it. Give it back. Get a book that you are happy with. They won't even ask you a question. They'll just believe you. That's what Audible is about. Okay, I love Audible.com. I just listened to a book called Red Shirts on it. I'm listening to Ready Player One right now, read by the amazing Will Wheaton. He fucking kills it. And just for listeners, Audible.com is offering a free 30-day trial membership. Go to audiblepodcast.com/how, H-O-W, today to start your free trial. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/how. If you do this, you support the show. They know that you're listening to us, and then they give us money to make the show that you like. Get a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/how. I have to say, like, I like Lorraine Bracco. There is something, though, in her voice that computer jargon in her voice is not – it does not work.
So much so that her lines became like – commenting on that, she was like, hard drive, blah, 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 I don't know. What are we talking about here?
Listen to this is a montage at the end when they're trying to explain to Lorraine Bracco how the guys are getting in. And this is the most techno babble. It's great. Just take a listen.
There's a new virus in the database.
What's happening?
It's replicating, eating up memory. What do I do?
Type cookie, you idiot.
Like a Pac-Man.
I'll head him off in the pass.
We have a zero bug attacking all login and overlay files.
Run antivirus. Give me a systems display.
What is this?
Die, dickweeds.
It's like it's a video game.
Yeah.
It is in the administration system.
Send a flu shot.
Rabbit, flu shot, someone talk to me.
A rabbit replicates till it overloads
someone
the file.
Someone talk
spreads
to me.
Like cancer.
Cancer?
It's here, hold one more second. Infection.
Multiple GPI and FSI viruses.
Who's gonna have the remote nose?
They're going for the colonel.
Colonel who?
The system command processor. It's the brain.
Cancer, brain cancer.
Belf, what's going on?
In short, Duke, a shitstorm.
Okay, great.
I mean, poor Penn Jillette, who is in this movie as like Fisher Stevens' like right-hand man
well,
in the
literally,
computer room.
Literally, if we can break down Penn Jillette's role, he is a security guard in the computer, like,
yeah,
of the computer. Like, it would be as if you put someone inside
yes.
your computer. And then Fisher Stevens goes inside the computer with him.
And the whole, all of it, all of the computer, this is the what we just listened to was the scene where all the hackers are attacking Fisher Stevens's company.
Yes.
The Gibson company. They're inundating them with viruses. And all it is, it sounds like, is video games.
Oh, and they literally,
like, I'll head him off at the pass? What do you mean I'll head him off at the pass?
And they literally have a Pac-Man icon eating code, like,
and a rabbit jumping around. It is gobbledygook nonsense.
And it also combines a lot of different things. It's like, in this world, hackers are gamers, and gamers and hackers are skateboarders slash rollerbladers.
Yep.
Like, it's like, it's every
motorcyclist.
Yes. It's like everything is all in one package. It's like, and it's kind of what, I mean, I guess what they do in the Fast and Furious movies, they just don't do it as aggressively.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they're all,
I mean, Ludacris in those movies, and the woman in the most recent one, the woman from Game of Thrones,
yeah,
they are able to effortlessly access anything from, like, an old Motorola Razor phone. They can be like, I'm in the NSA immediately, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Well,
this is just like that, only much stupider looking.
I have a question for you guys. The movie opens up with a slow-mo montage of SWAT coming in. By the way, anytime in this movie anyone's hacking, SWAT descends.
Guns. Guns on
multiple,
children.
Yep. Multiple guns on children. And if they did any research, especially for the Johnny Lee Miller character, that kid was 8 years old or 11 years old. Like, he didn't need to come in with a full complement of SWAT team.
Nor did he need, like, a federal trial. He was a minor.
Nor did I need to see his butt when he gets arrested.
Oh, yeah, when he fell
down. There's, like, a bunch of little boy butt in this movie that I did not. I was like, what is going on?
Oh.
We see Matthew Lillard's butt. We see this kid Joey or Johnny's butt. Like, I was like, why are we looking at this kid's
I want to talk
the kid who he oftentimes is smoking two cigarettes at once. It's like, this kid's story is bonkers.
I did love the actress who played his mom.
Oh,
yes, great.
She was
great.
Just on
all
fire.
Right, you're not fire. Grounded.
Joey was great. Joey was amazing because Joey was wearing, and I don't know if you caught this, I caught it only on rewatching it, headphones in the shower that had Ziploc bags,
bags on them, of course.
So he could like sing his song. Yep. Like, not the idea of like just playing a radio in there. He had to be wearing his headphones in the shower.
That's what kids did. They wore their Walkman everywhere.
And I also thought that Johnny Lee Miller gets too soapy in the shower. Yeah. When they cut to him in the shower, his body was almost covered in soap.
And he had just gotten in the shower.
He lathers quick.
He lathered up quick. I love when Joey is, after he's busted and he's put in the apartment, and the police are staking out his place, the guy goes, it's all ADR. There's so much terrible ADR in this movie. But you hear the agent's voice go, suspect is still inside. Suspect is still grounded by his mother. Who else grounds people, asshole?
And he's like 14.
FBI didn't ground him, you fucking dick.
Well, sometimes.
By his mother. The condescension in his voice is amazing.
But also, I would argue that in this movie, the penalties are kind of ridiculous. When Johnny Lee Miller does his whole thing about how he crashed 1,507 systems, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
He can't use a touchtone phone or a computer until he's 18, which is a crazy, like, how do you enforce that penalty?
Use a touchtone phone.
You can't use a touchtone phone.
What do you think happened between his mom and dad?
I was really curious about that, too.
I don't know.
Because it seemed like, you know, that opening shot of the SWAT team arriving at their house, and you, like, they sort of turn around the corner of the house and you see her. I did love that. And then the dad seemed to be very present at the trial.
Well, look,
and then they head off to Grimsville, New York City, in this like one bedroom apartment where she's sleeping.
Well,
on the couch.
Remember they reconcile for a little while. They split up, then they get back together.
Well, we only know that through. We don't know why. What happened?
What happened?
To add that detail that like they had a moment of.
Oh yeah.
Getting back. I mean, do you think that this kid broke them apart? Did Dade/Zero Cool break them apart?
Well, I think what we do know is that all divorces are the kid's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's true no matter what you're talking about. If people split up, it's because of the kids.
Well, of course, because it's
he's an only child, so it's
pressure on the marriage. They put a pressure on the marriage.
Amen.
Wait, just wait, Jason.
Why are you guys giving each other the finger?
Just wait.
Why are you guys just giving each other the finger?
Amen.
What's going on?
The thing that was so confusing to me in this movie was I thought for sure, like, they repeat Johnny Lee Miller's backstory a million times. Like, not only does the movie open with his backstory, they keep on telling you that he crashed these systems. And at a certain point, when they're calling him an elite hacker, because I guess he knew how to identify different workbooks.
That's the
red book. I mean, it's a book with a red
code. Well, he changed his English class in school. I mean, that's it.
Oh, yeah. They were impressed with that. He was able to hack into the AP English class, which also Matthew Lillard hacked, or he didn't hack into. He just showed up in the AP class for no reason.
Why did he show up to write something on the blackboard and then be like, oh, guess I'm out of here?
Like, oh, that hacker.
There's so many strange details, though. Like Angelina Jolie's mom being a self-help guru and writing these books. Like, I mean, that's never called bat. I mean, there's some details in this movie that are baffling.
Well, there's some funny moments too, because that idea, like, they're all writing quotes from literature on the board.
Yep.
And like, you know, Matthew Lillard writes, like, of all the things I lost, I miss my mind the most. And then
it's Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne. And then Johnny Lee Miller is writing a quote about it was a good a good quote.
Ginsburg,
right. And then Angelina Jolie's like, the only reason why they gave men bigger brains than dogs is so they wouldn't hump your leg at parties.
Cocktail parties.
At cocktail parties. And then they're like, who wrote that? She's like, my mother. And he goes, well, we're looking for somebody who is actually a contemporary of this age. And she goes, her last book sold 2 million copies. And it's like, that's like a crazy, like, so what are
we doing here?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
It's all great stuff. It's just
But these like comebacks and like in the same thing when they call the plague Eugene, she's like, okay, Eugene. Goes, I'm the plague. And then rips a piece of paper in half. Like people are like very
defensive. I feel like this movie is like, if you told me somebody, if you told me an alien wrote this movie thinking it would be like, oh, this is what Earth teens yeah. are like, or if you told me like at this era, like the Cold War era, like the Russians were at this movie, like
that would
this,
make sense.
It
yeah.
feels like someone else's idea of what this of what youth culture was then. You know what I mean? It does not feel like it's at all in touch with anything real. The way that like John Hughes,
I was
going to
say John
were,
Hughes, like,
or the
nails
way that
it.
Other teen movies get it. This feels like very tone deaf. To both hacking,
yeah.
which is it's startlingly tone deaf, but
are you
especially
a hacker? How do you
don't worry
that?
About it.
Were you at Hackstock? With
but
Nikon?
Then especially like teen stuff, it doesn't make sense at all.
Oh no, it doesn't yeah. feel like there's anything.
Because again, the story about him and his mom is sort of interesting and feeling like you know he's yep. been displaced because of her and had to restart
his life. It's got like the Karate
up.
Kid opening,
yeah,
it has the
sort of the structure of that, but then. And she's also used as a threat at one point, but then it's just never really resolved.
I also don't get that Angelina Jolie and him are, like, they don't, it's like it's there because it has to be there, but yeah. you don't feel like it's really there.
There's no real chemistry between them.
No.
How about the scene where he has computer discs tucked into his belt like
a gun. I just wrote them down.
Like a gun, like a guy, like a gangster's got a gun tucked in his belt, and he's like pulling it out like quick draw style,
yes.
as if he's going to be called upon. As if he's going to be called upon to have like a showdown, a gunfight at the OK Corral with computer discs. And the fastest draw of pulling a computer disc out of your belt is going to win. What the fuck is going on?
That blew my mind. I was like, this is not important. And it goes up to my next thing, which can we all agree? All of us. Out there listening, all of us in here, that never again do we ever need to say on film or in movies, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, when he did that thing, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Like, what is, like, he's doing, like, he's doing the Robert De Niro scene. I feel like I've seen that Robert De Niro scene so many times. And for him to pull out a disc and say, you talking to me? Really upset.
Really,
I don't
a real
see,
bummer.
I don't want to see
I
it.
I mean, I don't know if I want to say I never want to see it again.
Really?
Yeah, if it's interpreted well, I mean, I'm open to it. Here's the scene I want to talk about. When Fisher Stevens is, when everything's going down, where he's waging war, which, by the way, like, what, I don't know what's happening, like, how viruses are attacking other viruses, and I have no idea what's going on. But at one point, he pulls out a scallion or a...
What?
He pulls out a long green snack and starts eating it.
Oh, yeah. I remember what you
mean. What is that?
He's definitely eating a candy bar in one scene.
No, it's not the candy bar. You guys.
I know. I remember what you mean.
It looks like a vegetable, but
like,
it's brighter green than that.
I feel like it's like a long piece of taffy or candy. Because he's eating candy throughout the movie.
It probably is
like
taffy.
Like hackers do.
Or maybe it's a Jolly Rancher.
Because it looks like an asparagus.
It's so
okay,
long.
It looks like
an
they
asparagus.
Used to make big Jolly Ranchers though, like long, thick Jolly Ranchers. Remember
really?
That? Yeah, like
what
they were like
that
they're almost
delicious.
Like they were like
what are you talking about?
No, they were like a candy bar, but even bigger
really?
Size. They were just flat.
Oh, I do remember, like, but yeah. they weren't that big where your hands are.
All right,
they
oh,
were this big.
Yeah, yeah, I
and
remember.
You could peel it back.
It was
and, like
a score bar.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
Shape,
yes,
right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Does the score bar still exist?
I'm sure. I haven't been
remember
really
that?
To a candy place. I used to love...
Remember going to the candy store?
Oh, my
loved
gosh.
It.
I got myself a symphony bar. I like the symphony bar.
Really?
Yeah, I like
oh,
the symphony
interesting.
Bar. But I mean, yeah.
I used to get a whatchamacallit.
A whatchamacallit. Oh,
or a $100,000 bar.
Those are my two favorites,
before
too?
Before it was called $100,000.
Yeah.
No thanks.
I would get one of those magic tape dispensers, which was just bubblegum,
yeah.
and
yep,
I would
yep.
pretty much put the entire thing in my mouth and chew it.
Which is still your problem to this day. You do not
I
take
know,
more...
I chew way too much gum.
Yeah.
At the same time.
At the
I
same
must
time.
Have. It used to be I could. I would rather have no pieces of gum than just one.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because one piece of gum to you
not
is
enough.
It's not enough gum.
It's child's play.
So you're an elite gum chewer, would you say?
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to always need two. And then I crossed the threshold, and now I must have three if I'm going to have any.
So I have to buy her those like tubs of
gum tubs.
Yeah, like they're like they're those giant ones. They're like 150.
You guys go
pieces.
To Costco just for gum.
And I
chew gum all the time, but if I'm going to,
but by the way,
you will
power through. Like I was amazed that you powered through the 150 pieces of gum.
Yeah.
In how long? A week?
Yeah.
A month, maybe a month. 150 pieces in a month.
And is it sugar free?
A week.
What are we talking here?
If I know it's in the car, I'm gonna. power through all
Okay, I have a question. How long do you chew those pieces of gum
right
for?
Right until the flavor's over and which then I is start how long? Up again. Like 5 minutes?
I was going to say, is it not very long.
You really get it. Yeah.
I am the opposite. I do not chew gum.
I'm with you.
Ever.
I think it's gross.
Why not?
To chew gum.
I don't. I think it's gross. And B, it makes me hungry.
Yeah, it makes me hungry too.
It does the opposite. People oftentimes are like, oh, I chew gum. It quenches my appetite or whatever. I don't chew gum because the minute I do, it's like Pavlovian, like, the mastication motion makes me feel like I must be eating now. And I get kind of hungry. And then it's like, oh, no, you're not eating at all.
Oh, interesting.
You're just having a dumb piece of gum, you asshole.
I think for me, it's about I don't smoke anymore, but I miss that experience, that ritual, and the sort of oral fixation of smoking.
Right.
And now that that's gone, it feels like it's something that I can do that's safe for me.
Well, you should start like just really hardcore vaping.
Yeah, you
just
look
really
so cool.
Hardcore e-cigarettes.
Like, so sexy with a nice vape pen
just
out
like
there,
puffing away on your vape pen
just
with those
blueberry vape smoke
giant
coming out.
Clouds of ridiculous smoke.
So could I vape right here?
Yes,
I believe you could.
That's crazy.
It would be insane if you did.
By the way, I would like it if you really adopted a vape lifestyle.
Yep.
Like a real, like, and it's not like you're not putting marijuana in there. You're just putting.
No, just straight like tobacco or whatever they are, whatever the
flavored ones.
Tobaccos are or whatever. And and you were just like a hardcore vapor with it like on your belt.
I do. I appreciate. Sometimes I'll see people with a pretty intense vape pen. Like, like it
looks like a lightsaber. Handle.
But sometimes, like coming out of, like, have you seen the vape pens that are like, they look like an iPad or an iPod, and they have like a stick out of it too. Yeah, that's another one. It's like it's very like
you gotta start vaping, June.
I've never tried it. I would be open to trying it.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. It's healthy for you, right? It's not.
It is actually healthy.
No, it's not.
It's healthy for you. It is like taking vitamins. Vaping is like vitamins.
It's
that's why they call
healthy.
It vape.
I'm definitely going to do it.
The V is for vitamins. You know what you should do? Because I'm, a lot of women that I know now are doing prenatal vape.
Oh, yeah, those are great, yes.
The prenate vape.
Just get used to it, dead body.
Yeah.
Their hair looks great.
You got to get that vape, and it's got all the,
their skin looks really good for the baby.
Also, and after babies, too, there's a lot of placenta vaping going on. They just grind that placenta down into a vapeable substance, and you just vape that scenta, bro. Got to vape that scenta.
And by the way, you can get that on the black market. It is expensive.
Get it on the dark web, hackers.
Hey, everybody. Sorry we have to take a break in the show, but we need to thank our sponsors. And if you're enjoying the show, why don't you check out Blake Harris's article on /film? It is the authorized oral history of hackers with interviews with the director, a prominent hacker, and many other people involved in the film. So go to /film.com to read Blake's article on hackers. You know I love Squarespace. I love these guys. How much do I love them? I've built two websites. And I said, guys, I love this company, all right? Because there are amazingly talented people, okay, not just guys, all right, at this company. I've built two websites. They are fucking awesome, if I do say so myself. PaulShrew.com, CrashTestShow.com, and you're sending me your websites, and they look good. And why do they look good? Because they look like they were professionally designed, regardless of the skill level of the person behind it. You don't need to know coding. They have intuitive and easy-to-use tools, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. That's pretty fucking great, okay? Like, you get everything that you need without paying the exorbitant fee of hiring someone to design something for you. So start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, you can make sure that you can use the offer code BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase. Think about that. The world is your oyster. Be a hacker. Hack in. Make your own website. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Did you guys notice?
I love that we have ground this talk to an absolute halt to discuss candy bars, gum, and vaping.
Snacking with the How Did This Get Made crew.
Oh, yeah.
I love that segment.
How did this get vaped?
Did you guys remember, or did you guys notice the character that was in another How Did This Get Made movie? It's the same exact character. If you haven't noticed it, maybe you just didn't catch it. It was the robot that holds a gun from Runaway was also in this movie.
Oh, my God. Another robotic arm holding a gun.
Another robot with a handgun.
I'm glad that guy's getting work, you know?
By the way, what is Angelina Jolie shooting when she shoots at...
Oh, it's like
a flare gun.
Flare gun. But that seems to me more violent than a gun.
No.
If you shot a flare gun at close range,
he's 10 feet away.
And he is lit on fire.
No, that is, like, what she did would literally be, like, I believe, a federal offense.
Oh,
like,
huge.
Shooting a flare gun at people.
A person.
Yeah. No, I'm certain that is.
10 feet away.
But it was so cool.
Oh, man. She's the best. I was going to say, this is the most conspicuous group in Chinatown. Like, when they're around the phones doing stuff, they are, like, they're trying to, like Matthew Lillard's, like, looking out. The other guy's, like, looking out the corner. They are literally, like, you would look at them and go, hey, what the fuck is going on over here? They are not smooth.
But I feel like
subtle.
The movie is, like, positing this idea that, like, oh, that's what the world is. Groups of hackers clustered around public phones just hacking the planet, man.
And I love Wendell Pierce in this movie from The Wire. Bunk from The Wire.
He's so great.
When he gets – he did something that made me laugh when they kind of like focused their hacking attention. And I thought that actually was the best use of hacking in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
interesting.
They did like a whole thing where they kind of wreck his life and they make him look like he has a – a little excessive, 137 driving violations and a DUI, which I thought just seemed a little bit ridiculous. They also made him register for a sex hotline, and they
cut his credit card.
Oh,
they,
right.
They turned off his credit card, so much so that the waiter came to the table and cut it with scissors in front of him.
Now,
so defiantly.
Isn't that a thing that used to happen, though?
Yes. I thought about that too. Like, they used to cut your credit card.
I believe I saw my mother's credit card cut in front of her.
That was the thing. Yeah. They used to tell you to cut the credit card. Now I think they have better systems to be like, But yeah, they cut it.
Oh boy.
That's
but I was going to say, my favorite moment with him was when the sex line, he's getting all these phone numbers calling him, like, oh, I want to fuck you. I want to suck your feet. I want to, you know, come on your balls. Like,
Wait, did somebody say I want to come on your balls?
Yeah, it's in there. It's slow.
I want the stuff that comes out of my balls to land on your balls.
That's my new shirt. I want to come on your balls.
Balls to balls.
So he literally like picks up the phone and is like and he wipes his hand off as if the handle is dirty.
But see, that I get because like if I ever am on a phone call with someone who's sick, it makes me feel like I have just been exposed to that illness. It's such craziness.
You have an issue.
Oh, absolutely. Don't worry. I'm talking about in therapy, guys.
This happens in movies a lot where someone's getting a gazillion phone calls and they frantically try to answer all of them on that phone.
Yes, all the phone lights are blinking.
I have to imagine that if I was getting that many calls on a phone like that, I'd just pull out the plug. Like something's happening. There's no way to handle this.
I want to say again that the character – that is Joey.
Yes.
The kid who's is repeatedly smoking cigarettes in both hands.
One
in both hands, like this. As if like that's I was trying to figure that one out. And then he's in the addicts meeting and he's like, I'm not an addict.
I'm
not an addict. And they're all like, boo. And it's the point is like he's smoking a cigarette and chugging coffee. And he's like, I'm not an addict. I'm going to go get more coffee. He's like, all they're doing is showing that he's constantly addicted to things. It is so stupid. And I could not figure it out. And then the other guy who has a photographic memory.
Well, first of all, I didn't like him repeating that woman's address.
Oh, you didn't,
all of that.
You didn't think that was totally normal? That the girl who
that
doesn't know
really
how he knows her
creepy.
Name, he knows everything about her photographically?
But he seemed to be offering that information like, hey, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where she lives and what time she's going to be home at night.
Well, again, the other thing I want to – there's a couple things we'll talk about. We'll get to second opinions in a second. But the I wanted to talk about the passwords that they say are the most common passwords.
Love.
Yes.
Sex.
Secret.
God.
Were those ever? No.
Nope. The most common passwords are like 1234, 0000, the word password.
Really?
Yeah. Like those, none of these are the most common passwords.
No.
What are you talking about? The most common
secret.
Password is secret? What? No, it's not. What? Fuck you, assholes.
That was super lame. And then I didn't understand when Johnny Lee Miller walked around and he was seeing old clips of movies.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Dream On. Yep. Like, that's not a hacker thing.
That's the other thing. Like, when he's hacking and he's hacking and he's hacking, and then he, like, and he gets, he closes his eyes and it's like quick cuts through, like, yes, old movies and TV shows as if that's what's going on
like
in the
Dream
mind
On.
Of a hacker.
And it wasn't
well,
there all the
time. Well, Dream On, though, is also, by the way, a reference that 90%
of no
these,
one gets this.
The people watching or listening to this podcast are going to get, but it is like channel surfing old TV.
But I did
is what they're
imagine,
saying is a hacker's
though,
brain.
Well, I wonder if something does happen to their brains. I mean, they're spending their entire days looking at these numbers and data and all of that.
Yes, but I can't imagine what they see when they close their eyes is like a clip from His Girl Friday.
All I'm saying is their brains might be different.
Well, I would say like a 90s.
Their brains, June, you're right. Their brains might be different.
They're just hacked into
it
the old
I mean,
1950s
things,
films.
There are things that have happened to our
royalty
brains
free
after staring
films.
At screens for so long. Things happen to our brains.
June, I really like your animosity, but your legitimate fears of technology are compelling.
June, tell
it's
Jason,
just true.
Tell
I
Jason
mean,
what
true.
Happened
things
when
happen
I brought
to your
home
brain.
BB-8.
Oh, you brought home BB-8, the robot?
The robot from Star Wars. I got the little remote control.
First of all, I didn't know what the fuck it was. You just brought it home.
You didn't
arrived.
Know what it was, but you say that in a way that is like, even to look at it, you wouldn't conceptually understand what it was fundamentally.
I hoped that it was some
as if
sort
he brought
of character
home Gizmo,
figurine.
The gremlin.
All I know is he placed it on our floor and started roaming about, and I didn't like it.
You didn't
you
like
said
it.
To me,
didn't like
what
it.
Was the first question you
I
asked?
I don't remember.
What's its mission?
What's its mission? What?
What's its mission?
What is it here for?
Oh my God, what's its mission? Did you, Paul, did you go to the book to be like, oh boy, let me look at this?
No, I did the worst thing, which is like, don't you worry about it. It will monitor our house.
Yeah, that's what I
it's
think.
Just here to take pictures. Oh my What's God!
I think I have a healthy skepticism.
And then you told me immediately as I took it off the floor. What did you say to me?
I don't remember.
You said, "Get that the fuck out of here! I'm gonna throw it in the garbage." And it is now hidden from June. BB-8 cannot be out in public.
Oh
with
my
June.
God! I love that.
Let me hit you guys with
what is some, its mission?
Let me hit you
crazy
with some truth. Here about the movie. Some Go. Things that you may not have known about the movie. Katherine Heigl was offered the Angelina Jolie role. She had to unfortunately turn it down due to Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Oh, wow.
So that was interesting. Could have been a...
I didn't realize she was working that much at that point.
Other actresses that were up for the part, Hilary Swank, Heather Graham, and Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler would have been interesting.
Ed Norton was supposed to be the main lead.
Oh, I like
at
that.
At one point. Now, here's the interesting thing that is kind of great. The screenplay was written by Ralph Moreau, who is highly inspired by hacker and cyberpunk subcultures. Like, he went deep, and he was interested
now, is
in hacking.
Is he Dr. Moreau's son?
That's what I think. No, he. But this is his... He basically did a... He went to a meeting, went to hacker conventions. So... Maybe at this point, this is what the culture of hacking was like. I don't believe
I don't think
it to
so.
Be true.
I think probably I bet he wrote something that was more subtle and people were like, we have to be incredibly explicit with this because people are not going to understand.
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
That's what I think the director made choices. I mean, like oftentimes what they show in hacking is like as if a helicopter is flying through skyscrapers made of math equations over shredding guitar. You know, like flying through buildings made of motherboards while it's like
What may have been true, though, is hackers may have been more communal in 1995 than they are now.
Right. There was definitely a hacker convention. Here's the little final piece of truth. And you can read more. You can hear more about the film. You can hear everything about it from Blake Harris's article on Slash Film. Go check it out. It is out today. It's a great read about this movie. He got the director, everybody involved to talk about this film, which just celebrated 20 years of anniversary.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah. So here's the thing. MGM UA set up a website for hackers that was then immediately hacked by hackers.
I love it.
So the Internet Liberation Front hacked it. And on the front page was a photograph of Angelina Jolie and Johnny Lee Miller. And then the words were, "This is going to be an interesting, fun promotional site for a movie." That was what was on it, which was kind of meta. And then it was replaced with, "This is going to be a lame, cheesy promotional site for a movie." And that's what the hackers
that's
did.
That's awesome.
This movie is going to be lame. So that's, I think, the level of hacking back then. Like, just putting up, like, "This is lame." Like, I feel like that's it. They weren't having, like, fully animated, like, cartoon discussions back and forth between hackers, as this movie posits.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was. And I also don't think, like, what they were doing when they were hacking was what is represented in this. I mean, in terms of, like, making rabbits jump along and eat code or whatever, Pac-Man invading, blah, none of that stuff. But I do think, like, they were doing the kind of attacks that they are talking about in the movie, like, you know, trying to get hold of banks, trying to shut down security systems, trying to find back doors into blah, blah, blah.
But I guess what I'm saying is I feel like
worms
the majority...
and viruses, I think, were very prevalent.
Yes. Oh, we didn't even talk about the Da Vinci virus.
Oh, isn't that amazing? We didn't talk about the Da Vinci virus.
The Da Vinci virus, which is like basically like the surfer dude, like who is the Da Vinci virus, was literally Leonardo da Vinci. But they kept on going, "That's Da Vinci." But Da Vinci's drawing of man... Right, that image of like the multi-armed, multi-legged guy, that's not Da Vinci. That's not a self-portrait, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, we're going to have, you know, if we're going to figure this out, we're going to have to go to Hudson Hawk.
Oh, yeah, we got to get. All right, we're going to get back to you. We're going to revisit Hudson Hawk.
But this is going to be another one of those things where people freak out that we don't know something that everybody's like, this is universal knowledge.
Oh, I got slammed because someone wrote in on the podcast last week that that Super Nintendo made a video game of Life Force, and I referenced that on the mini episode, and that's not true. It has nothing to do with Life Force, and my inbox
It's just a game called Life Force?
Yes. Been full.
How could you make that kind of mistake?
I don't know. I trust our listeners.
What I don't understand is, how are you so stupid to not know that offhand?
I know.
And B, are you not doing all of the research necessary to record all of this information?
Look, I'm going to tell you one thing that some guy wrote me on Twitter and goes, "Let me just tell you, knowledge of NES is lame."
Awesome.
And I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
Quite comfortable.
Thank you. I'm producing this free podcast for you.
Yeah. And also, I'm comfortable with my knowledge of NES being lame. Like, in the grand scheme of things, I'm fine with it. Okay. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinion. Second
Opinions. Now, that was from Michael Ficus, who, I apologize, we've never given him credit for his song. Thank you, Michael, for making that song.
But seriously, trim back that Ficus, Michael. Nailed it.
Hey. All right, so these are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. Here we go. From S. Adkins. "Finally, I can enjoy Hackers on Blu-ray. What a masterpiece. Of course, I don't even have a Blu-ray player, come to think of it, but maybe one day, and when I do, I will play this disc that I purchased.
Wow.
Until then, I will continue watching the ripped version from the DVD that I purchased years ago." 5 stars.
Oh, my God.
That was written September 19th, 2015.
What?
Yes.
Whoa.
Okay. This is a great one here. 100% accurate movie is written by Jacob Wallace. "I wasn't allowed to use a touch tone phone until I was 18 because of this movie. 100% factually accurate." 5 stars.
Why are they making such a distinction between a touch tone phone and just a regular phone?
I guess because you can do stuff with the beeps.
Yeah, a touch tone phone is like you could hack stuff with just the
just
tones.
The beeps. Oh, I see.
That's how they're getting free calls and stuff like
that.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. This one's a little bit long, but it's worth it. This is by Lynn. "This has been one of my all-time favorite movies since I saw it the first time in 1995 on a Blockbuster rental. Loved it then, love the dub I made of it, love everything I rented, and loved it when I bought it, and will love the Blu-ray and the special features that come with it."
Wow.
First paragraph done. Saw it the first time just after I did an analysis in film class and recognized it as a well-made film. Everything about it was good. Acting, script, casting, each of the characters, even though it's not up to today's standards of what hacking is, because that's funny, is a well-made film with good to excellent actors, and all of them make up an ensemble that shines even today. Look, I can't address the music or the other things, but the characters are delightful. Each of the hackers had a different character so they could play off the others without interfering with their acting or personas. They were obviously having a good time.
Well, here's what I mean, yes. And I want to say, like, Matthew Broderick in War Games is a more compelling hacker.
I agree.
Than in this movie. Like, I want to make sure to be clear, like, there is something inherently counterculture and interesting about hackers. You know, it's just that's not what's on display really in this movie.
No. It's
you know, or like the TV show Whiz Kids.
Yes.
Was a more interesting version of hacking kids,
I would say that Mr. Wizard is kind of even more interesting than hacking because he's at least giving you little science hacks.
Yeah.
These guys didn't show me anything about that quarter thing. Here, I want to finish this review.
I didn't even realize we were mid-review.
Oh, no. I wasn't a kid when I saw this film. I was probably 50-plus and had classes in film school. Since I've been seeing films since my mom carried me in the womb, I'm a film buff.
Wait a minute.
And I'm particular.
You cannot see from inside the womb.
I'm particular about what I see. This one made me laugh. It caught and kept my attention all the way through. The characters were an ensemble. I've come to learn. And each was well cast and played off each other and were funny and had good comic timing and took direction well.
How does she know about the direction?
I don't know.
It took direction well.
I mean, this person really knows the term ensemble. The plague was great, as was God, who would become Tony Soprano's therapist. One of those amazing films with breakthrough parts for actors like Johnny Lee Miller, Elementary, and Angelina Jolie.
Oh,
and that was written also in September of 2015.
Wow.
By the way, what was Lorraine Bracco's role in this?
She was kind of the head of the company.
She was the head of Gibson PR.
Okay. She was the head of PR.
And she was standing to make a lot of money.
$25 million.
Yeah, she and Fisher Stevens were skimming money from the company.
Gotcha.
It was basically the same scam as Superman 4.
Yes.
Like they were skimming fractions of a penny off of each transaction, and it was going to equal $25 million. And then they created the Da Vinci virus to cover up that.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So much stuff.
So now it makes much more sense, right?
I liked it.
Well, guys.
Now I love, we're all now I love it.
Would you guys recommend seeing Hackers? I would.
Sure, I guess.
Not particularly. I will say you get like two brief flashes of Angelina Jolie's boobs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Once in his dream sequence, I felt like Angelina Jolie kept trying to show her boobs, and they kept being like, no, we don't want these. What are you doing? And she's wearing a top. She's wearing like a sheer top at one point without a bra.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this outfit?
I'm
on board for it.
Well, there you go. I think it's worth the $2.99 or whatever. But here is a couple things we're just going to get out in front of the way here. If you noticed anything that we might have missed or didn't get to, you can leave it in our corrections and omissions section on the Earwolf message board, and I'll read them in the mini episode. A big shout out to our friend Lawrence Marcy, who wrote us a really nice note about the show, and we are glad that you are enjoying it. We appreciate that. Guys, what do you want to plug? I will start by saying our good friends at the Worst Idea of All Time podcast, they're week 40 into their new experiment, which is watching Sex and the City 2 every week for a year.
Oh, God.
I just did week 40 with them. They'll be coming out soon. So definitely check that out. Last movie they did was Grown Ups. 52 weeks, 52 watchings of Grown Ups. These men go literally insane. They've created backstories and worlds for these characters.
That's
but
great.
It's listening to the ramblings of insane people forced to watch a movie every week for a year. It is the most supreme form of self-punishment, no matter what the film. So definitely the worst idea of all time. June, what do you want to have a plug?
I don't really have any plugs.
Okay. That's fine. Jason, any plugs?
Not really. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. HDTGM?
I've got a small part in the movie The Night Before, which is out right now. Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie, fun. Joe Gordon-Levitt.
Very funny.
Yeah, funny movie. Go see that.
And you do play Santa in that movie.
I play a Santa in that movie.
And did they use your real beard?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, really?
No.
I fell for my own bit. You said it so matter-of-factly.
I'm going to think about what is its mission, like, all the time.
Oh, what is its mission is what never is left mission? Me. It's the best thing of all time. Big thanks to Brant Heaney. Brant Heaney. I'm not even going to say that probably some people go, what is that, Heaney? It's not Heaney. Okay, so don't pick on Brant Heaney. It's not Heaney. It's Heaney. Oh, man, we're going to come to your town, and everyone that does it, we're going to toilet paper their lawns. We're going to toilet paper their lawns. Oh, going back to the Heaney thing. Okay, we'll do something else non-ass related. Brant, you gave us $100, and I'm forever in your debt. Big thanks to Chad Poole. Chad, I'll always swim in your beautiful donation of $100. As a matter of fact, to celebrate your namesake, we are turning all of your donation into pennies, and we will swim in the Earwolf Studios in all of your pennies to Chad Poole. Chad Poole is not a fool. We love Chad Poole. $100, doing it up every single day. Big thanks to Jill Dunham. Jill Dunham. Get some puppets, start touring around the country like Jeff Dunham, but be the female version. Get him where he lives. Jill, this is my advice to you. You gave me $100, I'm going to give you $100 worth of advice. Stop eating kale. Start eating one Twinkie a week. Start a blog about it. Something will happen. That is Jill Dunham for $100. A
big shout out to Avril Halley, who pulled all of our clips, Nate Kiley, Marissa Zeitz, everybody here at Earwolf. Thank you guys for listening. Check out our mini episode next week. Just one word to everybody out there. Hack the planet.
It's the second scariest weekend of the year. And guess what? You don't have to leave your house to go shopping for great deals. The Earwolf store is stocked with lots of stuff to wear, hang, or give this holiday season. Such like a limited edition Comedy Bang Bang hoodie and poster, a Hey Nong Man tee, or wonderful new Spontanea Nation socks to keep your feet warm. Support Earwolf and our podcasts by visiting earwolf.com, click shop, and get 15% off this weekend only with the code Black Friday. Happy holidays, you Jew!
They tricked me. Earwolf did a prank on me. Hi, I'm Sean Clements. I do Hollywood Handbook. I'm one of the two hosts, and Hayes Davenport is probably the host you would like better, but I'm who's here today. Anyway, I made a promise to anyone who listened to one of these little inserts that they would not attach a clip of Hollywood Handbook because, of course, I think that it's actually kind of filthy and dirty for Earwolf to just take someone who is trying to listen to one show and force them to listen to a piece of another show. I just don't think that's – I didn't want them to put a clip in. I guess what I've learned is they did attach a clip and that I guess it was super funny and it made people want to check out the show because they picked like a really great part from one of our episodes. I wish they hadn't done that. They've promised to let me come in, correct the mistake by just saying we're never doing it again. And now when I stop talking, you're not going to hear a clip from Hollywood Handbook. You're just going to go either back to your show or you go listen to something else. If you decide to check us out because it's what you want, that's fine, but you're not going to get forced to listen to us. Bye.
Laos is where sriracha comes from, which is something that a lot of people haven't heard of yet, but I go wild for that stuff.
I put it in oatmeal. I put it on hot
dogs.
I'll
put it on eggs.
I put it in cherry pie. I put it on a fish. And I literally will eat it.
Eat the whole thing.
I will eat the whole thing after I put sriracha. After I put sriracha on it.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.